Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
Today I want to talk to you about two conversions. And I want from this for us to learn specifically how conversion is brought about. There is a process that is involved in converting. Now, to convert simply means to change. It changes one's state. It changes one's condition. It's a change of one's mind is involved. It is a turning again. It's a change of relationship. And particularly when we talk about conversion in the Bible, we're talking about a change of relationship between man and God. Now, the two conversions I'm going to talk about are similar, and yet they're very, very different. One of them is never looked upon, considered to be a conversion, but it was definitely a conversion, as I think you shall see. One was a conversion away from God. We don't usually think of conversion in that fashion, but it was a conversion. It was a change of state and condition and relationship with God, a conversion away from God. The other that we shall consider is a conversion to God. And that first conversion that is a conversion away from God was the conversion of Mother Eve. Eve was converted. Now, that's not usually thought about as a conversion, but it most surely was. For instance, now think with me. We see her in the Garden of Eden. Here she is with her husband in a state of sinlessness and innocence, guilty of no transgression whatsoever. In fact, even fit company for association with deity, living there in the paradise of the Garden of Eden that God had provided. See her in that state. See her in that condition. And then let's look at her again a little bit later on. In time, we see that she is now subjected to death. We see that she is the victim of the consequences and the curses of her transgression. We see that she is driven from that paradise in the Garden of Eden. And she and her husband were barred from ever entering into the Garden of Eden again. Now, there's certainly two different states there, wasn't it? There has been a change in her relationship with God. What happened? How had this conversion been accomplished? Well, we read about the conversion of Eve in the book of Genesis. There were certain steps involved. There was a process involved in taking her away from God. And we read about this in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Listen as I read. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden, every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. How did her conversion start? It started with a preacher with a message. The devil, coming in the form of a serpent, came unto her with a message. And his message, of course, was a lie. He preached a lie. He preached that which was obviously alluring to her, enticing to her. It caught her attention. It gained her interest. It was false. It was contradictory to what God had taught and had warned. You see, what he was teaching there at the very start, by the way, if you ever wonder where this doctrine, you can't fall, came from, this is where it came from. The devil taught it. He was the first one to ever teach it. There are a lot of denominational teachers that teach it now, but the devil started it, and they're teaching the devil's doctrine when they teach it. You can't fall. You won't die. Everything's going to be fine. In fact, it's going to be better. And so here we have a preacher coming to Eve, and he had a message. Now notice the next step in her conversion. She believed what the devil said. She accepted that. Now she wasn't converted yet, but she believed what the devil had to say. And she no doubt felt very comfortable about it. Dear people, let us be warned that we can believe a lie and feel very comfortable about it, just like we can believe the truth and feel very comfortable about it. Well, how are you going to know what to believe? That's the reason Paul says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove these things and measure them by the Word of God. That's the only way you're going to be able to tell what is the truth and what is the lie. But just because you feel good about what you happen to believe does not at all confirm that it's the truth. It just means that you believe it to be the truth. And she heard this lie, and she believed this lie. She felt good about her belief. Now, God hadn't driven her out of the garden yet. She's still in the Garden of Eden. She could have changed her mind about that thing at this point and been able to stay there. But what happened next? The third step in her conversion, the Scripture says, she ate of that fruit. She obeyed the instructions that this preacher preached when he preached that lying message unto her. She followed the directions that he suggested to her, and her actions of obedience coupled with her faith in that lie meant that she disobeyed God, and as a result, she and her husband, to whom she also gave and did eat, why, they were both taken from the Garden of Eden. Can't you see the steps involved in her conversion? She heard a message, she believed a message, she obeyed a message, and she reaped the consequences of it. She was changed. Her relationship with God was changed. Now, in her case, as we said, she heard a lie, she believed a lie, she obeyed a lie, she suffered the consequences of doing so. And as a result of that, of course, sin came into the world. Of course, we know, as I said, they were driven out of the garden. Sin came into the world. And since that time, I'm not guilty of her sin or his. You're not guilty of her sin or his. But all have sinned because the tempter is loose. And we all fall victim because of our own lust and are enticed. We sin, every one of us. And this is where sin began in the world. I want to make this passing note that Eve was not converted by some direct operation of the devil against her will. She understood what she was doing. She was converted as a result of having been taught. And she believed what she was taught. And she obeyed what she was taught. She didn't have to do it. She chose to do it. Conversion is always, regardless of the direction that you're going, conversion is always a consequence of one's individual personal choice. People have to choose to be converted. There was no direct operation by the devil upon her. Now, dear friend, we cannot enter heaven in opposition to God. We cannot spend eternity in heaven. This is a simple, plain fact. I'm sure all of us will accept it and will agree it. We simply will not be in heaven if we stand opposed and in the wrong relationship with God. And the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the brethren of Ephesus, and when he was talking about what they were and what they later became, what they were when they were out of Christ and what they became. He said this in Ephesians chapter 2, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. Now that's the state of the person who is not converted to God. And then he goes on to say, but now in Christ Jesus, and then he described their new condition, that change of state. What happened? Why, these Ephesians had been converted. And so we also must be converted. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, the Apostle Peter preached to those people there, and he said, "Repent and be converted." Why? That your sins may be blotted out. Why is it so important for your sins to be blotted out? Because, dear people, Revelation 21, 27, no unclean thing is going to be in heaven. We are not going to be able to take our sins into heaven with us. We're going to have to be rid of them. And there's only one way to be rid of them, and that is that they be forgiven by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is the reason he said, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When Jesus was teaching in Matthew chapter 18, he called a little child unto them and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, except ye be converted. Here's the kingdom of heaven. Here's the church, which is the kingdom of God. And this kingdom, when the Lord comes, is going to be delivered up to the Father, 1 Corinthians 15:24. And if you are not in that kingdom, you won't be delivered up to the Father. But you can't be in that kingdom and won't be with the Father except ye be converted. Now, this should underscore for us the importance of the matter that we have under consideration this morning. This is a matter of spiritual life, spiritual death. It is the real distinction between being in heaven or existing in hell. And let none of us deceive ourselves to thinking in any way that there is going to be any other way to go to heaven except the Lord's way. This is the tragedy of the doctrines that we hear in the religious world today, of the multiplicity of avenues, and you take your choice as to which way you want to be forgiven and which way you want to serve God. Man gives man that choice, but God does not give man that choice. God gives man this kind of choice. You go my way or you don't go. Now let's understand that. There is no other way except the way of Jesus Christ. There's not going to be some feeling, something mysterious. We're not going to be saved directly by some kind of action on the part of the Lord, regardless of our own choices. And it doesn't make any difference whether one is black or brown or red or green. He's going to go to heaven the same way as the other fellow. Whether he's rich or poor, whether he's young or old, there is one way to God. That way is the way of Jesus Christ, and there is no other. And therefore I say to you in kindness, but with as much emphasis as I know how to put it, dear friend, if you are not converted, if you are not changed, if your relationship to God is not altered from being out of Christ to into Christ, there is no hope for your soul. You'll never be able to stand before God in judgment and say, "I didn't know that." You know that. Now, whether you do anything with that or not, that's your volition, that's your power, that's your choice. But you know that. And that being true, it makes you wonder sometimes why rational, intelligent, otherwise sensible people will just stubbornly refuse to be converted to the Lord. But sometimes people are that way. Jesus, while he was here upon this earth, spoke of some like that, and he quoted from the prophet Isaiah in Matthew 13 and verse 15 when he said, "For this people's heart is waxed gross. The ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." What prevented them from being converted? They were just determined that they would not be. That's all. The way was there, but they just would not be. This phrase here, it says, "their eyes they have closed," reminds me of that story about the fellow that had a smokehouse. And he got some rats in that smokehouse. And he needed to get those rats out of that smokehouse. And somebody said, he kept denying that he had any rats in his smokehouse. "I don't have rats in my smokehouse." He said, "Yes, you do have rats in the smokehouse. I can prove you've got rats in the smokehouse." He said, "How are you going to do it? Now, you just stand over here on this side. I'm going over here on the other side, and I'm going to take a handle of some kind, and I'm going to rattle it and shake it on the bottom of the floor, and I'm going to shake it so much you'll see the rats running out."
All right.
So he goes over here, and the fellow with a handle goes over here, and he ran around us. Says, see the rats? Don't see a one. Well, that puzzled him because he'd seen rats. He shook it again. See the rats? Don't see a one. He knew something was wrong. Went around there to the other side, and there sat the man just like this. He didn't see a rat. Not a rat. Didn't mean the rats weren't there. Now, that's a little story that illustrates a point that may be characteristic of some of us. We just close our eyes and stop our ears, and we will not hear. And will not be converted. How in the world do you think you're going to be right with God like that? You know, when Jesus was praying over the city of Jerusalem, he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. Notice the tender expression here. The kindness, the gentleness, the reaching out for. As a hen gathers her chicken under her wings. Well, why weren't they converted? It says, and ye would not. They just would not. Some folks just will not be converted. And that will mean they will have to suffer the consequences of failing to be converted to the Lord. Our question at this point is, will you be among them? Now you see, this is a matter of personal choice. You have to choose if you're going to be converted. Will you be among those who just will not, in spite of all the evidence and the need, will not be converted? Well, let's look at the other conversion. It's one with which you are familiar. It was the occasion on the day of Pentecost. Here were mobs of people there, people who just a few days before had cried for and consented to the death of the Son of God, not even realizing the seriousness of the deed that they were committing. And they even said, let His blood be upon us and upon our children. They defiantly called for and sanctioned the crucifixion of Christ. Later, we see at least 3,000 of these people accepting Jesus to be who He claimed to be, the Son of God. Now, what happened in the meantime? Here they were crying, crucify Him, and later we see they were added to the church. And the church means the company of the saved. Here they were obviously lost, and now they are saved. There had been a conversion. How did it come about? What were the steps? Well, the steps involved were just like the steps involved in the conversion of Eve, only going in different directions. First of all, there was a preacher, and this man's name was the Apostle Peter, and being guided by the Holy Spirit, he preached the first gospel message. Romans 10 says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And so the Holy Spirit guided Peter and the apostles, and they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, proving to those people by things that they knew, things the prophets had said, that Jesus was the Christ, and he came to the conclusion of his sermon, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. He preached a message to them. Well, how did they react to it? What was their response? Did they believe it? Indeed, the Scripture shows there was evidence of their belief because, verse 37 of Acts 2, they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, if they hadn't believed what Peter had just preached to them, they wouldn't have cared what to do. They'd have just turned around, went home, gone their own merry way, and never thought any more about it. Wouldn't have had to. But they believed what Peter preached. They weren't converted yet. They weren't converted simply because the message was laid out there. They weren't converted yet simply because they believed it. Even they recognized there was something for them to do. And Peter gave the instructions of what they had to do, and that was to repent and to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Told them why, at that for the remission of sins. And when they coupled their faith in that message with their obedience to that message, the Bible says the Lord added them to the church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. And now they were redeemed and saved people. What were the steps in their conversion? Just like the steps of Eve. Eve heard a lie, believed a lie, obeyed a lie, but on Pentecost they heard the truth, believed the truth, and obeyed the truth. Both of them changed their relationship to God. Both of them were converted, weren't they? And from these two situations, friend, cannot we see most plainly, as clear as can be presented to any intelligent people, how conversion comes about? And having read the passages that show to us the absolute necessity of being converted, this is how we are converted. This then, my beloved, is how God saves us from our sins. This is how God makes us fit to be in company with Him and to live with Him in heaven. Now, that's not difficult, is it? That's not hard to understand. Even those of younger minds can grasp these things. The way of salvation is not one of those complicated, deep, and unfathomable things that we read about sometimes in the Bible. The way of salvation is one of the clearest, simplest presentations of all Scripture. And it's wonderful that it is, because we all need to be saved, and it's within the grasp of even those who cannot grasp a lot of other things. We can know how to be converted. For you see, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved. That's God's part. That's what God has done. By God's love and His mercy and His grace and the provision of His Son, Jesus Christ, and His death on the cross, for by grace are you saved. Now listen to man's part. Through faith. What kind of faith? Well, when the Bible talks about faith, it always talks about obedient faith. The book of Romans talks about faith as much as any book in the Bible. And it talks about in Romans 1:5 and in Romans 16:25, in both ends of that book, are the obedience of faith. So when the Bible talks about faith, it talks about obedient faith. Eve was converted because of her obedient faith to the lying message of the devil. But the Jews were converted because of their obedient faith to the message of truth that was preached by Peter and the other apostles. And that's how you're going to be saved. That's how I'm going to be saved. Hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, obeying the gospel. Dear friend, that has been the message of God's people since Pentecost. And that's the message of churches of Christ today. And as long as we remain faithful to God, that will always be the message of the churches of Christ. It's not a church of Christ doctrine. It's the church of Christ upholding God's doctrine. Understand the difference. We don't preach some man's doctrine. We preach God's doctrine. We're the pillar and the ground of the truth. The church of Christ preaches God's doctrine on how we are converted. That's the reason we do not uphold the hands of those who preach salvation by faith only, or grace only, or any of the other numerous ways that men uphold. We preach the solid, sound, certain, thus saith the Lord. And we plead with you with kindness and persuade you with all the power of our being to hear it and believe it and obey it and enjoy the benefits of it. That's our message this morning. The matter of two conversions. That we might know that we need to be converted. That we might know God has provided the way for us to be converted. And that we can and must be converted. And this is how. Won't you be converted? Won't you be changed? Won't you change your relationship with God? Won't you come and repent of being penitent of your sins? Confess your faith and be baptized into Christ. And like those on Pentecost, be added to the Lord's church.